Merry Christmas, everyone. Now, if you're sitting someone who's really special next to you, why don't you just give them a kiss and say, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, honey. Thanks, music team. You can go. Well, yes, you may be seated. Great to have you with us on our Christmas Eve. If we just have those back doors closed, that'd be fantastic. Now, just before I get started, we have church every Sunday of the year. So this Sunday, it's only a couple of days ago, we do have a service. I have people asking, do we still do church when it's Christmas? True story. And we do. And thank you for being here. And if you're this first time to C3 Fremantle, great to have you with us. Enjoy the rest of our service. I'm going to speak to you just for a wee while, probably about 20 minutes or so. I've got a message that I want to talk to you about tonight. From nothing to everything. Can everyone say the word nothing? Nothing. That's very good. I'm impressed. Okay. Here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. I want to read to you from the Message Bible because it's kind of contemporary. I like the way it says it. The birth of Jesus took place like this. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. Before they came to the marriage bed, Joseph discovered she was pregnant. It was by the Holy Spirit, but he didn't know that. Joseph, chagrined but noble, determined to take care of things quietly so Mary would not be disgraced. While he was trying to figure a way out, he had a dream. God's angel spoke in the dream, "Joseph, son of David, don't hesitate to get married. Mary's pregnancy is spirit conceived. God's Holy Spirit has made her pregnant. She will bring a son to birth, and when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins." This would bring the prophet's embryonic sermon to full term. Watch for this. A virgin will get pregnant and bear a son. They will name him Emmanuel, Hebrew for God is with us. Christmas is amazing. Christmas is amazing. You know, I often think about this, that the presents will go. The lights will go. Even our roof might blow off. The Christmas trees will be packed away. All the decorations are gone. But thank God for the real message of Christmas. Jesus was born that day. Oh, only I thought that was exciting. It was the beginning, not an end. The message of Christmas is inclusive. He will save his people from their sins. Consider this. The Bible says that while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant. And Joseph, being a just man, decided to break off the engagement. My first point this evening is from nothing. Joseph had done nothing with Mary. I didn't do nothing, Mum. And we all know that, actually, they probably did. But in this case, Joseph didn't do nothing. Right? He hadn't done anything. But while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. That is a nothing moment right there. When Jesus was talking with his disciples in John chapter 15, he said this, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. We were destined for nothing. We were going nowhere. We were dead to our sins. But then, from nothing, Jesus wrote himself into our life. Our best life. That's why we have it on our signage. Our most fruitful life is accepting the Christmas message of what Jesus has done in writing himself into our life. Luke records how an angel of the Lord spoke with Mary. And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, Mary. The power of the Most High will overshadow you." God came to Mary before she was pregnant. He was going to make something from nothing in her life. I'm pretty good at doing nothing. What you doing? Nothing. What'd you get up on the weekend? Nothing much. And what we're really saying is, we did nothing that was really that important. Nothing that was life-changing, history-making. But God. But God. Say it with me. But God. He can't do nothing. He wants to take our nothing and make it into something. And Joseph had done nothing. And we can do nothing. But God can't do nothing. It's not his nature. Nothing's impossible. Luke 1:37 talks about this in the Christmas message. God actually says to Mary, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing is far from God's nature. Did you get that right? Nothing is not God's nature. He loved us too much. He cared too much to do nothing. And God said the same thing to Sarah, Abraham's wife, way back in the beginning when there was only a few people around on earth. And she was having a baby past her prime and she just didn't believe God. That's just not possible. And at 99 years old, you can agree with that. And God said to her, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" And God is always creating, always bringing things to life. That's his nature. It's why Jesus was able to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He made a way. When it seemed that nothing could be done, he came and sent his Savior, the Son, to us. And so when the angel said to Mary, "Mary, you are going to have a baby and he will be called the Son of God." Mary did something significant at that time. She accepted what the Lord had said to her. And I want to give you the same opportunity this evening. That like Mary, you accept the message of Christmas. That Jesus wrote himself into our lives. That although Joseph did nothing, nothing is impossible with God. He wanted to make something out of our nothing. His love is relentless. He was showing that his love never gives up on his people. He will always find a way to get into our world and make a difference. He simply wants to do life with us. And so Jesus wrote himself into our lives because, humanly speaking, it was impossible for us to save ourselves. Second, he became a human because we can't save ourselves. She will bring a son to birth, it says in Matthew 1:21, with no human intervention. And when she does, you, Joseph, will name him Jesus, God saves, because he will save his people from their sins. The Hebrew meaning of Jesus is Savior. He could have done nothing, but he chose to do something. To the Greeks present at that time, they knew the name to be the most fragrant of all names. Jesus was a special name. It meant the Savior of the world, or grace upon grace, endless grace. We love that song. I'm sure, whatever your background, amazing grace, how sweet thou art. And there are simply some things that we can't do. We can't save ourselves from sin. That's why Jesus could not do nothing. I know it's bad English. Forgive me if you're a teacher. And people have said to me many times, what matters is that you live a good life. That's what matters. When you say that, what matters is that you live a good life, that's actually a doctrine. And the doctrine states, I'm actually not so bad that I need a Savior. I'm actually not so messed up that I can't pull it together and lead a good enough life. It's actually a doctrine of works, rather than the unmerited favor of God operating through you. Amazing grace. God sent his son, he didn't have to. But he gave every opportunity. You'll try and live a good life characterized by fear and insecurity without the Savior in your life because you never think that what you're doing is quite good enough. Or it may be marked by pride, a disdain for others, or a self-loathing because you just haven't been good enough. You haven't lived up to your own standards. I'm sure if we have an honest look at ourselves that we would all agree that we're never quite good enough. It's impossible for us to become God. Who thinks that's a good thing? We do not have the capacity to work everything out in our lives. But God became human. The purpose of Jesus was to be born to die for our sins. You know, I was talking with a certain member of our church a few weeks ago, and he loves cricket. And I could identify with cricket because many years ago, when I was a young fella, I used to play cricket and stand out in the hot sun. But this person really loved cricket. I mean, he's nearly my age and he's still playing cricket. And it's okay to, it's good to identify with others. I could identify, I know the game enough. I mean, it's on right now, right? Like, well, I think so. Anyway, it's summer. Cricket happens, you know? And I know there's a red ball. Or is it white or pink these days? But anyway, I know how the game goes. I can identify. But I don't really know what's going on with that friend of mine. And then he asked me. So he said, what do you like to do? And so I said, well, the first thing that popped into my head was I love to go surfing. And he could identify with me. He's never been surfing in his life. I don't even know if he swims. But he knew about, he knows water, he knows what a board looks like. He could identify with me. And then the conversation always turns to, aren't you scared of sharks? To which normally I answer something like this, I try not to think about them. And Jesus could have been happy just identifying with us. That is a good place to start a relationship, but it's not ideal. Jesus didn't settle for identifying with us. He became human. He was born a human. And I want to read you a scripture from Hebrews 2 and verse 14. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, Jesus also became flesh and blood by being born in human form. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. There is a predator out there. It's out there in the depths of our subconscious, believing that you can do life on your own, believing you don't need to do anything, rather do nothing, believing you don't need the intervention of a loving God. And that is the devil's cunning plan, the deception that we can live under to get you to try and think that the consequences of your own sin and the power of death don't mean anything when they actually, well, it's your life. It's your life that's at stake. And so we can do nothing with the Christmas message and nothing. But God sent his son because he loves us so much. He gave a way where it's not possible for us to become God. It's not possible for us to know all things. He sent his son as a human. I'm okay. Can you really take that chance? This is your life. It's too big to try and think about the consequences. He was born a human so that he would not only identify with us, but truly know us. By becoming human, Jesus understood suffering. By becoming human, Jesus understood our pain. By becoming human, Jesus was tempted. By becoming human, he understands our relationships, the good and the bad. By becoming human, he gets our work, whatever it is that we do for a vocation. By becoming human, Jesus knows us intimately. God can't do nothing. He wouldn't do nothing. He is able to aid you, whatever your situation may be. When Jesus was speaking with his disciples in the Gospel of Mark, he said to them, Mark 10:27, humanly speaking, it is impossible. But with God, everything is possible with God. And Jesus has gone to infinite lengths to be with you. Matthew 1:23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. God is with us. So I want to ask my last point this evening. Will you accept what Jesus has done? Will you accept what Jesus has done? Mary did something significant at that time. She accepted what the Lord had said to her. Really? I'm pregnant? She accepted what the Lord had spoken to her. And I want to give you the same opportunity this evening, that like Mary, you will accept the message of Christmas, that Jesus wrote himself into our lives, that nothing really is impossible with God. He wanted to make something out of our nothing. He wants to be a part of your challenges. He wants to be a part of your marriage. He wants to be a part of your healing. He wants to be a part of your life. That's why he wrote himself into it. And you can keep doing nothing or keep believing nothing. or keep believing lots of things. That everything's going to be all right. But the truth is, Jesus has done the main thing for us. He's wrote himself into our life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. He wants to help you with those problems that you may have. He wants to help you in your marriage. He wants to help you. And that's why he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was born that day. It was the beginning, not the end. He went to infinite lengths to write himself into your life. And when you make Jesus a part of your life, that nothing will become something. He can't do nothing. He will work with you to make something. It's his entire mission. Emmanuel, God, is with us. Will you stand to your feet with me this evening? The Bible says he will save his people from their sins. So I want to ask you, how big is his people? It may seem like he's talking about the Jews. It may seem like he's talking about Israel. But actually the meaning of Christmas is God with us. God with us. Is his people going to be you today? Will you accept the message of Christmas? Emmanuel, God is with us. I want to pray a prayer with you this evening. That humanly speaking, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And I'd like us all to pray this prayer. I'm going to say it slowly so that you can repeat it after me. And then I'd like to invite you just to pop up your hand if you've said, yeah, you know what, I haven't received Jesus as Lord of my life. I would like to do that. Or maybe tonight you're away from God. You used to know him. I want to give you an opportunity for Jesus to reconnect with you. He became a human because he wants to have a relationship with us. Can we pray this prayer together? Just repeat after me. Why don't we bow our heads, close our eyes. At the end of this prayer, if you'd like to receive Jesus as your Savior, I just ask you to pop up your hand and I'll see it and you can pop it down again. And I'd love to pray with you. Receive Jesus into your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the Christmas message. I thank you that you wrote yourself into my life. I accept what you have done for me. Thank you for being born a human, so that you may know me intimately. I receive you into my heart. Forgive me for all my sins. Please lead my life from this point forward. In Jesus' name. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer, you want to receive Jesus into your heart. Or this evening, you're away, you were in relationship, but you're away from him now. You know you need to come back to him. And maybe tonight you're not sure if you're going to heaven. You can be sure tonight. You too, please, pop up your hand and I'll see it on the count of three. One, two,
3. Thank you, Lord. Anyone this evening? Just let me see your hand. Thank you, God. Thank you, I see your hand. I'll pray of you in a moment, sir. Is there anyone else this evening? Just say, yeah, that's me. I'd like to receive Jesus as Lord of their life. Reconnect with God. Thank you, Lord. That's great. I'm going to pray over you at the end of the meeting. Is that all right, sir? Thank you. You know, this is your first time in church for a long time. We're great that you came. We're so grateful. And we want to say on behalf of my wife and I, Andrea and I, and C3 Fremantle, a very Merry Christmas.